I will say tonight that I appreciate the good presence of the Lord. I appreciate the unction of the Holy Spirit. I appreciate you tonight that have come by this way. I'm sure, no doubt, with the intent of glorifying and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping Him, and looking for God to do something tonight. And we ask for the Lord's help. You pray for us tonight. I'll read the whole chapter, but there's two verses I'm interested in particular. I always like to try to always not lift a verse or two out of context without having a little bit of an idea of what the context is. Psalm 12, verse 1, help, Lord. I believe I've preached on that word help before. I'm glad there's help in the Lord, amen. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You ever heard the phrase, all bark and no bite? There's a lot of people like that today. They know how to run their mouth. They know how to put on a show. They know how to make a scene. But when it comes down to it, they don't have power, amen? Who have said with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? I just thought about that, them signs again, Brother Rick. No kings. No king, no Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. So here we're talking about so far the tongue. You know, the crowd that they've got a lot to say. They know how to ridicule. They know how to try to put the people of God under. Amen. And beat them down. You know, make sure that they're criticized and that sort of thing. It says here, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. I'm interested in verses 6 and 7 concerning the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord. Let's pray tonight. Ask for the Lord's help. Lord, we thank you for this heaven-bought privilege and opportunity it is, God, to stand. Lord, endeavor to preach the precious Word of God. And Lord, we count ourselves thankful, Lord, tonight to have the physical health to be able to come to your house. We pray, Lord, for those that would love to be here tonight and aren't able, I ask, Lord, you bless them in a special way. God, help us tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Tonight we need to know what the words of the Lord are. Why would you think that tonight that the Lord and His Scriptures would teach us and tell us to study the Word of God? Study to show thyself approved. Talked about that they were daily in the Scriptures, amen? And I believe that we need to have the same mindset about us. We need to know what the Word of God is. But as we talk about the Word of God, Satan has been out since the beginning to try to destroy and dispute, deny, whatever you want to add in there, the Word of God. But you know what? He don't even have to do that. As long as he can get you to doubt, as long as he can put a little question mark beside the Word of God, he's already done his job. And so tonight we need to know what the words of the Lord are. I'd like for you to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 3. And we can see how that Satan has not changed his tactics and not changed how he tries to handle situations and tempt and try to draw people away from the Word of God. And here in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And so he begins by questioning the word of God. Hath God said? And then it keeps getting worse from there, you see. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Of course, this is Eve speaking here, the woman, and no doubt under the influence of Satan, added to the word of God. There was nothing ever said that God had said about touching it, but that was something that she had added. And we find time and time again in the Scriptures several places where there's a warning to those that would add or take away from the word of God. It's a serious thing, friend. Adding to and taking away from God's word, both are offense. I believe that's just as bad as the other. And so tonight, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So already Satan has put a question mark besides God's word through his influence here. She had added to God's word. In verse 4, we see now the serpent is denying God's word. Just come around and say, no, it's not right. And verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, if I was to quote this in modern times, that's the NIV version right there of what God had said. Amen? It completely it started out with just putting a question mark beside of it, and now all of a sudden it's a completely different thing. Satan's added his, taken out some, and now he's saying that you're going to be like God. Amen. What a tragedy. How that through the efforts of Satan, how that Eve and mankind, as it were, has caved in to him distorting the Word of God. That's where it all started. It was surrounding God's Word. That's how important this is. I believe we as preachers need to be very careful not to add to or take away from the Word of God. Yeah, we preach out of the King James Bible, but honey, I've listened to a lot of preaching, and these preachers, they'll add stuff to the Word of God, speculating this and that. I want to be very careful not to speculate. Now, I understand these times when you study and you look at a text and you might think what that particular person in the Bible might have been thinking about. I think about those things. But I don't make doctrine out of it by just saying on presumption of what may happen. We need to have sound doctrine, amen? And so we see the importance of the Word of God. Now, tonight, what would you do if I were to get up here and say, okay, instead of the Bible, I'm going to have the Koran tonight and preach out of it? Amen, you'd run me right out the door, and you ought to. But that ain't how the devil works. He didn't do that here. He didn't come around and say, no, here's what really is how it is. All he did was put a question mark beside the Word of God, and it kept getting worse, and it kept getting worse, and it kept getting worse. And it's just the same as what's happened to a lot of Baptist churches today that no doubt at one time was fundamental. At one time they believed the Word of God. They believed the Bible. And all it took maybe was for some Sunday school teacher or some teacher to say, well, is all the Bible really the Word of God? That's all it takes. Starts right there. Amen. Then you start downhill. And that's how it happens. It gets worse and worse and worse. Next thing you know, amen, preaching out anything but the King James. And amen, you might as well have a Koran. That's what happens, friend. That's how it goes. And so tonight we need to understand the importance of God's Word. And so it started with the mishandling of the Word of God and taking heed to the lies and the deception of Satan. And we see that God has placed such an importance on the Word of God that He said in Psalm 138 and 2, He says, for Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. Now I'll add another layer to that, if you will, in John, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word... let me just turn there, I'll mess it up, amen. See, I'm talking about preaching the Word of God, and I'll mess it up sure as the world, amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, Jesus and the Word are inseparable. He is the Word of God. That's how important the Word of God is. You mess up the Word of God, you mess up the doctrines of Christ. You mess up what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. A lot of these perversions of the Word of God today, they'll call Mary a young girl instead of a virgin. That's the doctrine of that involves the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen. Taking the blood out, amen. Messing up the second coming, messing up the rapture. Anything I can do to take away the doctrine and the teachings of Christ. Jesus is the Word and the Word is Christ. And so we see the importance of it. And but what happens is whenever you lose the familiarity with the Scriptures, you begin to lose your capability to be able to defend against the wiles of the devil. You see, Adam and Eve, they needed to be very particular and understand just exactly what God had said. That way, when Satan come along, that subtle serpent, they would have been able to recognize just exactly what he was saying was wrong. You see, we need to possess the same ability through the work of the Holy Spirit to be familiar with the Word of God, to know what the Word of the Lord is, to know what the Bible says, and that way when something comes up contrary, we can recognize it. We say, hey, there's something not right about that. I've hid that in my heart somewhere. And something just ain't right. And then you go to the Scripture and say, no, that's not right. Amen. That doctrine's off, that teaching's off, that's misleading people, that's going to lead people astray. And friend, you take a stand against that which is against the Word of God. That's how important these things are. Of course, there's the illustration about how that the person that works at the teller at the bank counter, they need to be very familiar with currency and the true item and what it's supposed to look like. You see, they don't have time to look at all the counterfeits, there's so many of them. You see, if they're limited on how many counterfeits that they can look at, because as soon as they get familiar with these, there's going to be another come up. Another little detail that they need to be able to catch. But friend, when they're familiar with the true article, when they're familiar with the true thing and exactly what it looks like, as soon as a counterfeit comes across, it don't matter what they've changed, they're going to say, hey, that right there is wrong. And that's how we need to be familiar with the Word of God. I'm okay with the studying, you know, false teachings and this and that, and diving into why they believe what they believe a little bit. But friend, for the most part, we just need to stay with the Scriptures. We need to know what we believe based out of this book and what the Word of God says. And friend, and take a stand on it and believe the Word of God. I'm trying tonight to look at the importance of the words of the Lord. There in verse 6, the words of the Lord. And friend, in this, I believe that the problem surfaces is that we need to be able to recognize who the enemy is. We need to know who our adversary is. We're living in a time when people don't know who our enemy is. I mean, in current events, people treat Iran like some kind of victim or something. Amen? We need to know who our enemy is. We need to know who the devil is. And we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. How do we do that? By the words of the Lord. We look at what thus saith the Word of God. So here are some of his tactics, or his falsehoods, if you will. He has many falsehoods. That's how he works. He works in deception and lies and trickery, deceit, mockery. And so he has false teachers. They're called in wolves in sheep's clothing. Like I said, he don't have to come in and totally revamp church. He just comes in with a preacher that looks, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen. That's how he works. He works in a false presence. And the Bible says he's transformed into an angel of light. And it's a matter of, he's the master of deception, trickery, deceit. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. He's a liar, the father from the beginning. He's a liar. There's a false peace associated with Satan. There's a sense of false peace in the world. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world give I unto you. You see, there's peace with God. But the peace of the world is a false sense of peace. It talks about the policy of the Antichrist, through peace will destroy many, is what the Bible says. And so there's a false peace. that comes with Satan. But the one I really want to emphasize tonight is the false word. The false word. And so with all the trickery and the wiles and the deceit of the devil today, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to be able to detect those lies whenever Satan tries to replace God's word with his own? How are we going to deal with that? What's going on every hand? Well, it says here, the words of the Lord are pure words. The word pure means clean, free from mixture, free from moral defilement. Let me tell you something tonight, beloved. These words are before us tonight, they're pure. There's not any error mixed into them. There's no defilement mixed into this. This is the original, amen, the original formula, if you will. It's the real deal. It's the real thing. Without defilement, unadulterated, Word of God. It is the words of the Lord. And so we see it's pure. I tell you what, there's been times throughout the history of the children of Israel that God has told people like the children of Israel many things. And they always come to pass. He told Abraham that he'd be the father of many nations. He told him, I'll bless those that bless thee. I'll curse those that curse thee. Amen. He's given the promises in the scriptures. Everything he told Moses there on Mount Sinai, everything that he put down, it was true and it was pure without flaw. God has never lied. He doesn't have the ability to lie. He is God and he is pure and his words are pure tonight. I believe that this pure word of God tonight, the holy word of God, is the answer for our Christian living in deceptive times. We find it lying within the scriptures here before us tonight. I'm glad that this same Bible that condemns sin, the same Bible that gives the consequences for sin, is the same Bible that can tell you how to get it right. It's the same Bible that makes a correction, says, hey, here's how you can get it right. The words of the Lord are pure words. Now look with me here in our text, in Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad that God gives us an ability to understand the Word of God. Aside from the work of the Holy Spirit, aside from the work of God the Father working in us and helping us, we couldn't understand the Word of God. People talk about it being such a difficulty, you know, and they'll criticize the King James Bible and say, well, I just can't understand it with the these and that. Let me tell you something, every single word, Jesus referred to them as the jot and the tittle. Every single word, jot and tittle, every bit of it is there for a reason. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. It's all there for a reason. God knows that it's there. And every single thee and thou has a purpose and a reason. A lot of those thees and thous, you know, have possessive forms. It tells you who it's talking about. Without that, you're not going to have any context to who it's talking about. They're there for a reason. And God put all these things here for a reason. And God, I'm glad that He made it so we can understand. See, this Bible, it's not a book. Yeah, there's mysteries in the Bible, but the essence of the Bible is not to hide, but it's to reveal. If there's something you don't know, it's because you haven't tried to understand it in most cases. And there's some things that's not meant to be known. There's some things that men of God, they'll study their whole life and they'll never understand it till they get to glory. And I guarantee you, there's a reason because of that. God has a reason. He knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need to understand. And friend, if there's something that He wants you to understand in this old book, He'll help you understand it. I believe, Brother Rick, you told the story about, was it your grandfather who couldn't read very much? But praise God, he could preach. God called him a priest. He helped him. I believe that, friend. I believe that God, and it wasn't that he desired ignorance. That was just the way his life had lined up to that time. And friend, tonight I believe that God will help us to understand what we need to know. And He'll give us just exactly what we need. And He designed it so that we can understand. Like I said, it's not a book that's trying to hide or got all these keys and doors that need to be unlocked. But friend, God is revealing His Son, Jesus, to us through the Scriptures. And here He uses an illustration as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. And so we can understand that here is talking about that purification process concerning silver and its purification, as the refiner would heat up that silver and take it into that purification process. They would remove the dross from the top of that silver, and that was the impurities that come out of it, and they would do that. And be careful to note that this text, it's not saying that the Word of God is going through the purification process, but it says it is as silver. He's saying it is likened to a silver that is the most purest form possible. See, that was what it was talking about here. That silver has been purified seven times. It was the most pure. And that word seven is significant there, but it is as pure can get. And that's what he's talking about, the Scripture. It's pure as possibly can be pure, without any defilement, without any error, without any thing in it besides the Word of God. That's what we have before us. Now, you know, another thing about that refinement process, the dross would be taken off. You know, when it would get to that pure form, you would begin to see reflection in it. That's the Word of God. You begin to see who you are in light of the Word of God in the Scriptures. And the Word of God will reveal things to you. It'll show you things, and it'll help you. Listen here in verse number 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's saying He thought so much of His Word. He's exalted even above His name. And He thought so much of His Word, He said, I'm going to preserve it. In other words, I'm going to put a seal on it. Like we preserve things and we can and that sort of thing. Whenever you put that seal on it, when you go back and get it later, if it's green beans, you go back, it's green beans when you go back to get it. Amen. The very same thing is there when you go back to get it. That's what God said He's going to do with His Word, to preserve. That means to guard. Think about all the historical events that have taken place to try to destroy the Word of God and the Scriptures. But God said He's going to guard it. Preserve means to guard, to keep, or save from injury or destruction, to defend from evil. God thought so much about His Word, He said He would keep it. He'd preserve it. And how reliable tonight would you say God's method of preservation is? Well, I'll give you an example. The children of Israel, and tonight we've heard a lot about Israel, for sure. Israel is the only nation still in existence today that I know of, or the only nation today that was named by God. And, you know, it goes back all the way to Old Testament times. Yeah, they're still nations today that exists, that we see in the Bible. Their names are there in the Bible. But friend, it's totally different. But God preserved the nation of Israel. They have went through more dispersions. They've went through more calamity and going here and there and all the wars that they've been through and all the persecution and everything that they've faced. And still yet, God still has them here. That's by no mistake. That's by God's design. And you know what? It's no different concerning the Holy Scriptures. Those Scriptures that were carried by the Jews through all them years, hundreds and thousands of years, they was carrying around the Word of God, and God had His hand upon the preservation of the Scriptures. And God was saying, I think so much of My Word. I know that somebody's going to need it one day. I know that they're going to need the Word of God. There'll be something such as the local New Testament church. They're not going to have any way of knowing what I've got to say by any other means than what I'm going to write down and have for them to know. And so God said, I'm going to preserve it. I'm going to keep it. Not just any words, but the pure Word of God. Without error, without defilement. And how long is He going to do that? from this generation forever. That means it's not going to spoil. It's not going to go bad. It's not going to, it is what it is. It's there. And God's promised that He's going to keep it what it needs to be. And so it's a position of faith. Yeah, we could present facts tonight. We could talk about the underlying text of the Hebrew Masoretic text, the Greek received text. But the Old Testament here in our King James Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, is a perfect copy of those texts. It's a perfect copy of the Word of God for an English-speaking people. And friend, we know tonight that God has preserved it and He's kept it. We could talk about facts and we could go into history and that all that supports the King James Bible. But tonight, I'll say this, above all those positions, above all the facts that you could bring, I appreciate that. It's a position of faith. Is God going to preserve His Word or is He not? I believe that God preserves His Word. I believe that God said, hey, no matter what comes to history, no matter what happens, I'm going to preserve it and say here to anyone that would believe, right, here's the Word, here's what I've got to say about the Scriptures and about the Word of God. I'll give you an example. See, there's evidence of a global flood. But that's not why I believe there's a global flood. I believe it because it's the words of the Lord. God said it, and that settles it, praise God. He told us that He would preserve His Word, His pure Word, from this generation forever. And I just believe that. It's a position of faith, not a position of any other. You see, for one to say that there is another version of the Bible that's reliable, and that's the Word of God, would be to say that there was about 300 years that God didn't have the pure Word of God available to the English-speaking people, to the masses. You see, yeah, I know that I realized the King James Bible was about the 7th English version. But friend, I find no coincidence. It was the 7th, purified 7 times. God had His hand in the preservation of the Scriptures. And there's no doubt the King James Bible is the Word of God. But there's about 300 years there until the Revised Version come along. That was the only English version available. You couldn't go to the store and find anything else but the King James. If you wanted the Bible, it was the King James Bible. So that had been 300 years that the Word of God wouldn't have been available if this is not the Word of God. But we know it is, amen? We know this is the Scriptures. This is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. I'll ask you tonight, how does the Word of God speak to you? You seek to change the Word of God? You seek to make it adjust or change to your life or to what your expectations are, or do you let the Word of God change you? You see, this is a living, breathing Word of God. We quote that Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration. The word inspiration comes from a word that means God, a word that means breathe. It's God breathed. Whenever you read this precious Bible, it's really God breathing on you. So here's what I've got to say unto you. Here's what I want you to know. And friend, I find it so precious tonight that God will look upon someone such as me and say, hey, I want you to know what I've got to say. I want you to know the truth. I want you to know the consequences for sin. I want you to know what it looks like whenever a sinner dies lost without God and what hell is and what the lake of fire is. I want you to know what the end times are. I want you to know that Jesus is coming again. And friend, what I've got to say tonight is, yeah, there's been a lot of talk about things going on in the Middle East. And friend, I just sit back and listen to those things. I sit back and just ponder them in my heart. Friend, what keeps coming back to my heart, I don't claim to understand all of it and know what's going on. But friend, one thing I know and what keeps coming to my heart is that Jesus is coming again. You may not have much time to witness to your neighbor, to your lost loved one, that relative that's lost without God. You know what they need? They need the Word of God. They need the pure Word of God. And it's such a blessing tonight that God has made His Word available to you and I. And I bless His high and holy name tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the Scriptures. We thank You, Lord, that it's kept, it's been preserved down through these years. And Lord, we want to bless Your high and holy name tonight. And Lord, we're so blessed tonight. Lord, sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes there's days that might go by that we don't even look at this precious Bible. Lord, help us to see the importance of it. Help us to see that it's very necessary to our spiritual walk and our life with You. Thank You, Lord, for everyone that's gathered out this way tonight. We pray, God, that You'd have Your will and way in the remainder of service. In Jesus' name, amen.